Thank you, Brother Rollin, for those kind words. Our Brother Rollin and I have had a long association together, and we were quite young, but as you can see, that is no longer the case. Besides the obvious reasons of needing your prayers tonight, my weakness, my humanness, my way of somehow murdering the English language, I need your prayers for two other reasons also. One, I made a horrible mistake a couple hours ago, and I ate a bag of popcorn, and my teeth are full of holes. And the more I talk, the more the holes start trying to come out. The other thing is that there's a terrible crack in the floor that somebody could fall through. Did you see that crack? So please, please give me your prayers tonight. And I hope that this hour that we spend together, we might come closer to our Heavenly Father. I pray that this hour that we spend together, we might learn something. I tried to pick out a sermon tonight that would appeal to everyone. For we have the young, the middle-aged, the elderly. And almost all of you are acquainted with the gospel of Jesus Christ as taught by the Church of Christ. So I don't believe that I need to go into any doctrinal matters tonight. But what I think I need to do is maybe encourage. I read a quotation. In my line of work, I use what they call a daily planner. And at the top of this daily planner was a quotation. And I don't know whether the man was a religious man or not. Probably not. But the more that I read and looked at this quotation, the more I began to formulate in my mind the sermon I'd like to deliver tonight. And this quotation goes like this. Be a life long or short, its completeness depends on what it was lived for. Take a couple of minutes and mull that over in your minds. The completeness of your life and my life depends on what it was lived for. When we were young, and I think this probably goes for most of us, including those that are young here today, one of the first things that I can remember as a real young boy was looking forward to being able to drive the family car. And I imagine that every young man here looks forward to that. And I thought whenever I reached that point where I could get behind the wheel of that automobile and go down the road, my life would be complete. I'd have it made. I'd be able to go where I wanted to and do the things I wanted to and see the people I wanted to without the restrictions of walking or riding a bicycle. That was going to make my life complete. And then when you're a little older, and I know this goes for not only the young men, but the young ladies in the congregation. When we're a little older, we think that our life would be complete if we could just get out from under the thumb of our parents. If we could just get out on our own and do our own thing. Go our own way. Make our own decisions. my life would be complete. And then maybe as you get a little older, the thing that might make your life complete is getting a job and having some money come in so you can enjoy all those things that you think are important to you at that time. Or maybe it's you think your life would be complete if you met the right young man or young woman and fell in love and married. And maybe even had a family, and that would make your life complete. Or maybe it's after you've had that family and you and your wife have struggled long hours to try to raise them up, it's seeing those children get out. And you think, boy, will my life be complete. Wife and I can finally do all those things that we've always wanted to do, and yet we didn't really have the money because we was raising a family. Or we really couldn't do it because the kids were in school. If we could just get them raised and out, our life would be complete. And then along comes your grandchildren, and you start all over again. But let me tell you, short of living your life for Jesus Christ, those grandchildren are about as close as you can get. Or maybe after years of working, after years of seeing your family grow up, and your grandchildren come along and you start all over, you look forward to retirement. And when you reach that age of retirement, your life will be complete. Yes, you know, I think that all these things that I've talked about are part of a complete life. Those joys and pleasures that we have with our families and friends and acquaintances, they're part of a complete life, aren't they? But really, those things doesn't make our life complete. The Book of Mormon in the second chapter of Mosiah says, believe in God and believe that He is. And I believe that this belief is the first step that each one of us have to take, no matter how old we are. But that's the first step that we have to take to really assure ourselves of a complete life. But I've found that in talking to the people that I associate with outside of the Church of Christ, for them to be able to believe that there is a God, they must have some proofs. And I think in our early days that you and I, no matter how old we are, needed those same proofs that there is a God to believe in. And I think that all we have to do probably is look back at some of the mighty things that are recorded in the Scriptures to be able to tell us and show us that there is a God. And I think probably the best proof that you and I could have that there is a God and we should believe in Him is starting right at the start of the Scriptures. And read in chapter 1 of Genesis where it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." I know for many, many, many years as I was growing up, I heard all kinds of theories, and I'm still hearing them, about how this world was formed. About how this world that you and I live in come to be. Oh, we hear of the Big Bang Theory, and we hear of all other types of theories. But the Bible tells us, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was out form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And each morning when we rise and look out our window and see the sun coming up in the east, that should be a proof to us that there is a God in heaven. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And He went on here and He created the waters. And He created the animals, and He created the grass and the trees. And then He created you and I. He created man and all mankind. A proof. Brothers and sisters, young and old, each one of us know. We know without a shadow of a doubt that we just didn't happen. That we just wasn't formed from a one-celled animal and evolved into what we are today. We know it because we believe in that God. And that belief in that God and the words that He put in this book is the first step that each one of us have to take to attain that complete life. There's some other stories in the Scriptures that should stand as proofs that there is a God in heaven. You remember? You've read the story many times where Moses was leading the children of Israel out of bondage and out of Egypt. Think with me a moment. Imagine yourselves, if you will, coming up to that Red Sea. Coming up to a body of water that you couldn't even see across. Imagine yourselves there. What would you feel? You have the armies of Pharaoh coming behind you, bent on your destruction. If that happened today and we come upon the Red Sea, I think that I'm sorry to say that we would feel despair. But Moses didn't feel despair. He was expecting a miracle, and that miracle happened, and that sea was parted. And the scriptures tell us that the children of Israel went across on dry land. What more proof do we need that there's a God in heaven? That a sea can be divided and we could cross on dry land. You know, brothers and sisters, we can expect that today. Because that God is still the same God. That God is still the God of miracles. I remember the story of the three Hebrew children that were thrown into the fire. And the scriptures say that when they were thrown into the fire, that not a hair on their head was singed. Not even the smell of smoke upon their garments. Again, put yourself in their place. I'm asking you to use your imagination that you were about to be thrown into that fire. Would you have the faith? Would you have the belief in Jesus Christ to be able to stand and walk in that fire and not have a hair on your head singed or the smell of smoke on your garments? Where do we stand today? What is our condition today? I'm going to turn over to Luke. In the 8th chapter. And I'm going to read a few verses starting with the 49th verse. While yet he spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, Weep not. She is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Another proof that there is a God in heaven. A God that can even raise the dead. A God that has victory over death. But you know, we only need to really look into our own lives to see some of the proofs that there is a God in heaven. Back a few months ago, the family got together and gave my wife and I a gift certificate. And I have a great filing system. I always know where everything is. Always. Never fails. And I put this gift certificate in this drawer where I could put my hand on it. I knew it was there. But then we decided to put new carpeting in our room and we had to move the furniture. So one evening, before they were going to put the carpeting down, my wife and I sat down, and we went through all these drawers and emptied them and put them in a bunch of suitcases. But one of the stories, one of the things that I need to tell you now is that as we were going through these drawers, we were cleaning them out and throwing them away, the things that we shouldn't need. But I knew that I didn't throw that gift certificate away. Come a month or so later, and we decided that it was time for us to use this gift certificate. There, I murdered the English language right there. Did you see that? It was time for us to use that certificate. And I rushed madly in, and I opened the drawer, and I reached it, and there was no certificate. Well, luckily, there was no one in the house but me. And I went through literally every drawer in that house, and it took me almost all day. And I still couldn't come up with a certificate. But I figured I was hot on the trail because I found the card it came in. But after all afternoon trying to find that. And I might add that I even went and looked in the suitcases because I thought that's where I left it. And they were empty. I decided that it was time to place that problem, even though it wasn't a great problem. And I ask our Heavenly Father if He would intervene. And it came to me immediately. My mind thought suitcase. But then my humanness says, I already looked in the suitcase. It's not there. But I trudged back downstairs and I opened the suitcase and I reached in one of the pockets and there was the gift certificate. That should convince anyone that there's a God in heaven. That there is someone there to believe in. Someone that you can put even a little thing like a certificate in His hands, and He will answer that prayer. I think that's the first step. And if I don't hurry along, I'm never going to get to the second step. I think to have your life complete, you must believe that God gave His only begotten Son on the cross to die for us. The Book of Mormon on page 217, verse 116 says, "And moreover I say unto you that there shall be no other name given, nor any other, nor means whereby salvation can come unto the children of men, only and through the name of Christ." Only and through the name of Christ. And in the Book of Mormon on page 323, I'd like to read to you. I'm going to start at the 18th verse and read through the 23rd. "For behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the Son of God cometh upon the face of the earth. And behold, He shall be born of Mary at Jerusalem, which is in the land of our forefathers, she being a virgin, a precious and chosen vessel, who shall be overshadowed and conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost, and bring forth a son, yea, even the Son of God. And He shall go forth suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind, and this, that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, he will take upon him the pains and the sickness of his people, and he will take upon him death, that he may loose the bands of death which bind his people. And he will take upon them their infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people according to their infirmities. Now the Spirit knoweth all things. Nevertheless, the Son of God suffereth according to the flesh, that he might take upon him the sins of his people, that he might blot out their transgressions according to the power of his deliverance. And now behold, this is the testimony which is in me. And we need to believe this. We need to believe that Christ died on the cross and suffered and rose again for you and I. I think the third thing that we need to do in making sure that each one of us has a complete life is to repent. To repent of those sins that each one of us have. Those sins that we do daily. Oh, they may not be huge black sins. But each one of us are guilty in their own way of living contrary to God's law. Paul, when he was telling King Agrippa about his conversion, said that the Gentiles should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. One of those things that we need to do is turn our lives to God. I'd like to turn over to Matthew. In the 18th chapter, I'm going to read the first 6 verses. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them. And you all know what I'm going to read. And said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that they were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now you all know. You all know that little children are lovable. They might begin to change like a puppy when they grow up. But we are commanded of God that we become as that little child, humble, meek, obedient, trusting. And in so doing, we come another step closer to that complete life that each one of us want. I think that complete life depends upon our becoming a member of Christ's kingdom. And how do we become a member of Christ's kingdom? Through repentance, through baptism. And there may be those today, this evening, under the sound of my voice, that need that baptism, that need to make their life complete. Join Christ's kingdom. And if there are, I would ask you not to procrastinate. I would ask you not to put off. I would ask you to move out in faith believing and be baptized into this kingdom of God. Book of Mormon, on page 634. Starting with the 34th verse says, "And whoso believeth in me and is baptized, the same shall be saved. And they are they who shall inherit the kingdom of God. And whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and I bear record of it from the Father. And whoso believeth in me believeth in the Father also. And unto him will the Father bear record of me, for he will visit him with fire and with the Holy Ghost. And thus will the Father bear record of me, and the Holy Ghost will bear record of him, of the Father and me. For the Father and I and the Holy Ghost are one. And again I say unto you, ye must repent and become as a little child and be baptized in my name, or ye can in no wise receive these things. And again I say unto you, ye must repent and be baptized in my name and become as a little child, or ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you that this is my doctrine, and whoso buildeth upon this buildeth upon my rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And our Heavenly Father must have believed that baptism was important, for he repeated it many times in just these few verses. For each one of us to have that complete life that God wants us to have, we must be baptized. The next step in making our life complete, I believe, John, First John, the third chapter, I'm going to read the first three verses. Third chapter, 1 John, first three verses. "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Have you ever stopped and pondered that statement that our Heavenly Father made there? What manner of love? He called us the sons of God. What a responsibility that puts upon us. What a responsibility it puts upon each one of us to really, truly live like a son of God. "Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." We're told in these scriptures to be like him. In everything that we do, everything that we say, every action and every deed, to be like him. And he was free from sin. Whoso, and I'm skipping on down, no, I believe I'm going to go over to chapter 1 and read 6 through 10. In the same first epistle of John. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, and what is walking in darkness? It's sin. We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. All right, so we know we sin. But our Heavenly Father in his wisdom and in his goodness and in his love has given us a way, and that is repentance. To put that sin from us. And to have that complete life that I'm talking about, we need to put that sin from us. To put it behind us. The definition of sin is any thought, word, action, omission, or desire contrary to the law of God. In Romans, the 6th chapter, starting at the 12th verse, it says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Let sin be put away from you for that complete life that each one of us wants. And then in the 22nd and 23rd verse of that same chapter, it says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." And I believe that if each one of us has that hope of everlasting life within us, it goes a long way towards that complete life that we can have here in this life. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The next step in a complete life is to obey his commandments. To do those things that he wants us to do. And you know, he didn't give us a long list to do. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And I say unto you tonight that if you do that, If you present your life to Christ, ready to sacrifice your desires, your wants to Him, ready to submit yourself to His will, you will obey His commandments and take another step closer to that complete life. First Timothy, in the 4th chapter, starting with the 11th verse, it says, "These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in so doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Living a Christ-like life puts us well on the road to a complete life. In 1 John, in the 5th chapter, the first 5 verses. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begot loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" And one of the last steps, I believe, in having that complete life that I'm sure that each one of us here tonight want, and that's to have a complete love of Christ and a love of our fellow man. In 1 John, in the 4th chapter, starting at the 16th verse, it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." And if you remember nothing else that I've said tonight, nothing else, remember that God said that he loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. In the Book of Mormon on page 771, the 29th verse, I believe that this one verse sums up a complete life. And the first fruits of repentance is baptism. And baptism cometh by faith unto the fulfilling of the commandments. And the fulfilling of the commandments bringeth remission of sins. And remission of sins bringeth meekness and lowliness of heart. And because of meekness and lowliness of heart cometh the visitation of the Holy Ghost, which comforter filleth with hope and perfect love, which love endureth by diligence unto prayer until the end shall come, when all the saints shall dwell with God. And finally, to have that complete life that we all need, we must serve mankind. We must serve each other along with serving our Heavenly Father. We must serve our friends, our neighbors, and our enemies. We must deal kindly with each other and with all those that we come in contact with daily. There was a story I read a long time ago that this fellow had a problem with one of his neighbors. And no matter how hard he tried, he couldn't get close to him. It's kind of like my brother Larry Beam says that he couldn't even warm up to him if he was cremated with him. But he made it a matter of prayer. He challenged himself to each time he seen this individual to say some kindness, to try to do some kind deed. And slowly but surely, he become closer and closer to this individual. So if we have someone that we have this same problem with, challenge yourself to do good to that individual. And see, prove our Heavenly Father. And see if He doesn't help you to come closer to Him. And to accent this, and in finishing, I have a poem by Helen Steiner Rice, and it's called In His Footsteps. When someone does a kindness, it always seems to me that that's the way God in heaven would like us all to be. For when we bring some pleasure to another human heart, we have followed in His footsteps. And we've had a little part in serving Him who loves us. For I am very sure it's true that in serving those around us, we serve and please Him too. Be a life long or short, its completeness depends on what it was lived for. I thank you.
Thank you, Brother Frank. I feel that we have received an answer to our prayers, that indeed we've been given words of counsel and inspiration. I also realize that we have received an answer of prayer. It's, as our brother asked to start with, that he had a problem with popcorn husk, and he didn't choke on that, and he didn't fall through the crack in the floor. So, but seriously, I do feel that we have a great blessing in those things that give us a completeness in life, and we shouldn't take these things lightly. Let's remember these things. We will close with singing of 296. That's the old path. If you already know it, you don't have to turn to it. There we stand.
Say.